This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is all about FHA loans. But before we get started, I just want to touch base with you guys and see how you're doing out there. And if you are actively pursuing real estate investments, are you looking for projects? Are you planning? Are you doing education, research, getting ready for that first purchase? Or maybe you're a seasoned investor and maybe you're looking to upgrade. Maybe you are entering into multifamily for the first time. Whatever it may be, I just want to encourage you. I'm hearing some great success stories with folks out there on all levels, and I try to share a lot of those with you with some of our guests that are experiencing some great things out there as well. So hopefully things are going well, and despite the challenges out there with the COVID-19, as well as the economy. I still hear that things are still strong in the real estate markets. And so this depends on where you are and again, what the situation is. I know we have some major decisions coming up regarding additional funding for relief efforts, and I just don't know how that's going to impact things as well. I know that evictions are still sort of a moratorium right now. So that makes it a little bit tough for those of us that have some folks that maybe aren't able to pay or aren't paying, or there are those that might just be taking advantage of it too. So you just have to knuckle under and do the best you can. Nonetheless, just want to encourage you and move on first to our tip of the week. Tip is, don't over leverage yourself. And this is a big one. You know, there's a lot of, I would probably say some of the young pups out there that are, you know, just maybe getting started and are a lot younger. You might be able to leverage a little bit more than most, especially if you have a full-time job and you're investing on the side. You know, especially if you're younger, I think that there are some good opportunities to leverage, but you need to be cautious. And not just, you know, because of our age. I know I try to say for those that are 50 plusers that, you know, you really don't want to have a lot of debt into your retirement years. So you try to pay things off as quick as you can. And I'm going to talk about that too, how to accelerate some mortgage payments and things like that in the future. But, you know, you at the same time, you know, sometimes if you don't have the funds to be able to pay cash for the properties that you're buying, then you know you do have to rely on mortgages. But again, I would say do it with caution. You know, you can be very successful for a long time and still go broke if every rental is mortgaged to the hilt, especially if we have trying economic times. If you keep some of your rentals free and clear and some of them financed, then you'll have a good mix of safety there, and you'll still kind of stretching your resources, but not too much. Now, the idea is to do it right, and a few maybe longer than expected vacancies or dips in your cash flow doesn't have to be the end of the world for you in terms of your real estate investing. And all of us have experienced that, I think, that have been doing it for a while, is that you do sometimes get those mortgage, you know, those vacancies that can really impact you, especially if you have a mortgage to pay on that property. So that's the tip of the week. Don't over leverage yourself. So let's jump into FHA loans. Now, you've heard me talk about FHA loans, I'm sure, a number of times here, but this is one of those instruments or one of these tools, I say, out there that can really help you, especially if you're new and you're just starting out, or maybe your finances aren't that strong. Maybe you're retired, but you're relying on Social Security and maybe some other funds you have, but funds are tight. And FHA loans are ideal for that kind of situation. So I realize I really haven't got into a lot of detail on FHA loans, and so I thought I would tackle it this Fun Fact Friday for you. So Federal Housing Administration, that's what the FHA stands for. FHA loans are government-backed mortgages for single-family and multifamily homes. Yes, you heard me right, multifamily as well. So some of you that might want to start out in multifamily, you have that opportunity with an FHA loan. What is an FHA loan? As I mentioned, it's a government-backed mortgage insured by the Federal Housing Administration, or FHA for short. It's real popular with first-time homeowners. FHA home loans require lower minimum credit scores and down payments than many conventional loans. Although the government insures the loans, they are offered by FHA-approved mortgage lenders. FHA loans also come in fixed-rate terms of 15 and 30 years. Okay, you don't have quite the options that you do with conventional loans. FHA-backed loans typically have a lower income and credit score requirement than conventional mortgages, which, again, could be an advantage for somebody that's either new and just starting out or maybe has limited funds. FHA also requires a minimum of 3.5% down, which is pretty nice. Considering most conventional loans, you have to put, maybe if you get, you're lucky, you get 10% down, but 20 to 30% is more standard. So that's real nice, and it's real helpful for buyers who don't have a lot of funds saved for a big lump sum, especially if there's your buyers in an area like California or New York or a place where home prices are very high. The fact that you can get a home that costs $600,000-$700,000 and only have to put 3.5% down is a real advantage. There are two main reasons that they're so popular among first-time home buyers, and I think that's because there are those people on tight budgets and folks who have lower credit scores. Now, so how does the loan work? FHA flexible underwriting standards allow borrowers who may not have pristine credit or high incomes and cash savings the opportunity to become homeowners. But there's a catch. Borrowers must pay FHA mortgage insurance. This coverage protects the lender from a loss if you default on the loan. And again, they're government backed, so if you default and you didn't have insurance, then the government would have to pay. Mortgage insurance is required on most loans when borrowers put down less than 20%. And so even in conventional loans, you may experience that. But all FHA loans require the borrower to pay two mortgage insurance premiums. The first one is the upfront mortgage insurance premium, 1.75% of the loan amount paid when the borrower gets the loan. The premium can be rolled into the financed loan amount. And then the other is the annual mortgage premium, which is 0.45% to 1.05%, depending on the loan term, 15 years versus 30 years, the loan amount, and the initial loan-to-value ratio, or LTV. This premium amount is divided by 12 and paid monthly. So if you borrow, for example, $150,000, your upfront mortgage insurance premium would be $2,625, and your annual premium would range from $675, which would amount to $56.25 per month, just added onto your mortgage, to $1,575 for a $131.25 add-on for your each month, and that I assume would be for the 15-year. FHA mortgage insurance premiums cannot be canceled in most instances. The only way to get rid of the premium is to refinance into a non-FHA loan or sell your home. FHA loans tend to be popular with first-time buyers as well as those with low to moderate incomes. Repeat buyers can get an FHA loan too, as long as they use it to buy a primary residence. FHA lenders are limited to charging no more than 3% to 5% of the loan amount in closing costs. The FHA allows home sellers, buyers, and lenders to pay up to 6% of the borrower's closing costs, such as fees for an appraisal, credit report, or title search. Now, you know, I mentioned one of the ideal things for people to do if they want to start investing in real estate, and I really promote this, is if you can get a small multi, like a four unit, and you can get it with an FHA loan. Of course, the FHA loan requires you to live in that property for at least a year. Now, that's, you know, that's kind of nice if, you know, you want to live there for a year, you maybe are going to do some rehab or fix it up a little bit while you're there, and then you can move and then, you know, have somebody else move into the spot you're into. But generally, if there's four units and you're in one, the other three are going to totally cover the mortgage payments and the other expenses associated with operating that property. So it makes it really nice. And then when you move out, you have this, you know, this great property, a four unit, and you could do the same thing. You could repeat it, find another four unit and do the same. And, you know, I know sometimes, if you're, again, retiree, you might not want to have to deal with that, especially living in the same building as your tenants. But it's kind of a great way to get started and you maybe get that first property, then go on to the next. If you're a young person, gosh, you know, you could do this. You could even go into a college town and do this and, you know, get a student rental going. And, you know, there's a lot of options here. Who is the FHA loan for? An FHA loan can be a viable path to home ownership for many types of buyers. So here I'll look at like two scenarios where FHA loans might make sense. Borrowers with a sub 620 credit score. So most lenders call for a minimum credit score of 620 for conventional loans, whereas FHA loans have looser requirements. Home buyers can have a score as low as 500 and still be eligible for a FHA loan. However, lower scores also mean higher down payments. And so here's what FHA requires. If you have a 580 and above, you could to do a 3.5% down payment, but 500 to 579 credit score, you'd have to put down 10%. So there's a little bit of restriction there. So another group that this might apply to are borrowers with a low down payment. Many of today's buyers, especially if this is their first home, find saving for a down payment challenging. As housing costs rise and people are saddled with student loan debt, many folks need a loan with low down payment requirements. FHA loans can require 3.5% down if you have a minimum 580 credit score. And this is good news for folks who would otherwise be required to make a much larger upfront payment. To obtain approval of for an FHA loan, the borrower must satisfy the following requirements. So here are the requirements. To be eligible for an FHA loan, you'd have to have a FICO score, as I mentioned, 500 to 579 for a 10% down, 580 or higher for 3.5% down. You have to have viable employment history for the last 2 years. Income is verifiable through paycheck stubs, federal tax returns, and bank statements. The loan has to be used for a primary residence. You have to live there. Property has to be appraised by an FHA-approved appraiser, and it must meet HUD, HUD property guidelines. Your front-end debt ratio, your monthly mortgage payment, should not exceed 31% of your gross monthly income. Lenders may allow a ratio of up to 40% in some cases. Your back-end debt ratio, mortgage plus all monthly debt payments, should not exceed 40% of your monthly gross income. Lenders may allow a ratio of up to 50% in some cases. If you experienced a bankruptcy, you must wait 12 months to 2 years to apply, and 3 years for a foreclosure. So
kind of limits the folks that have gone through those things. Lenders may have exceptions on waiting periods for borrowers with extenuating circumstances. So let's look at the types of FHA loans. And that's what's really cool about this, that there are some neat options here. In addition to the more popular FHA loan, the FHA also insures other loan programs offered by private lenders. Here's a look at each of them. Now, the FHA 203K loan, you may have heard about, we may have spoken, or you might have heard us talking about it on other podcasts. This is the loan where you can help a person purchase a house and renovate it, okay? And so it means that you can renovate it with the loan proceeds, okay? So you don't have to buy the house and then find money to renovate it. That can be included in your loan, all with a single mortgage. Homeowners can also use the program to refinance their existing mortgage and add the cost of remodeling projects into the new loan. So that's really cool. There's two different types of 203K loans. The limited 203K has an easier application process, and the repairs or improvements must total $35,000 or less. The standard 203K requires additional paperwork and applies to improvements costing more than $5,000, but the total value of the property must still fall within the FHA mortgage limit for the area. And that's a very cool loan. Also, there are home equity conversion mortgages, or HECMs. And HECM is the most popular type of reverse mortgage and is also insured by the FHA. An HECM allows older homeowners, age 62 and up, it sounds like an old dog thing to me, with significant equity or those who own their homes outright to withdraw a portion of their home's equity. The amount that will be available for withdrawal varies by borrower and depends on the age of the youngest borrower or eligible non-borrowing spouse, current interest rates, and the lesser of the home's appraised value or the HECM FHA mortgage limit or sales price. Another one is the FHA Energy Efficient Mortgage Program. Energy efficient mortgages backed by the FHA allow home buyers to purchase homes that are already energy efficient, such as Energy Star certified buildings, or they can be used to buy and remodel older homes with energy efficient or green updates and roll the costs of the upgrades into the loan without a larger down payment. The FHA Section 245A loan, also known as the graduated mortgage payment, this program is geared at borrowers whose incomes will increase over time. You start out with a smaller monthly payment that gradually goes up. Five specific plans are available. Three plans that will allow 5 years of increasing payments at 2.5%, 5%, and 7.5% annually. Two other plans set payment increases over 10 years at 2% and 3% annually. So those are some of the options, the types of loans that you have. So where do you find an FHA lender? Okay, borrowers get their home loans from FHA-approved lenders rather than the FHA directly, which only insures the loans. FHA-approved lenders can have different rates and costs even for the same loan. FHA loans are available through many sources, from the biggest banks and credit unions to community banks and independent mortgage lenders. Costs, services, and underwriting standards vary among lenders, mortgage-backed brokers, so it's important to shop around because you really can find different rates and save some money if you take the time to shop around and find and compare different FHA lenders. So what are the loan limits for FHA loans? For 2020, the floor limit for FHA loans in most of the country is $331,760. Up from $314,827 in 2019. For high cost areas, the ceiling is $765,600, up from $726,525 a year ago. So that's pretty nice. You can get a pretty nice home, depending on the area that you're in. Even in Southern California, you could get a home for the $765, pretty decent home. So that's that's nice to know that they're not limited in that regard. Now, these limits are referred to as ceilings and floors that FHA will insure. FHA updates limit amounts each year in response to changing home prices. FHA is required by law to adjust its amounts based on the loan limits set by the Federal Housing Finance Agency, or FHFA, for conventional mortgages guaranteed or owned by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Ceiling and floor limits vary according to the cost of living in a certain area and can be different from one country to the next. One country, that's one county to the next. Okay. Areas with a higher cost of living will have higher limits and vice versa. Special exceptions are made for housing in Alaska, Hawaii, Guam, and the Virgin Islands, where home construction is more expensive. So, before we kind of wrap this up, I just thought I'd kind of go over some of the pros and cons of FHA loans real quick. And just to summarize, the advantages of FHA loans, I think I mentioned a lot of them, but I'll kind of summarize here, are low down payment requirements, a real key advantage. They're amenable to first-time home buyers, includes those who have not owned a home for at least 3 years. So if you haven't owned a home within the last 3 years, you'd be considered, after 3 years of not owning a home, you'd be considered a home buyer. Financing for mobile homes and factory built homes. Now that's really hard to find, is good financing for mobile homes and factory built homes. Also, it may accommodate people who own the land where the home will be located and those who live in a mobile home park. You can lock in a low rate without a large down payment, which is really nice about the FHA loans. But there are disadvantages, and the FHA borrowers, are the number one disadvantage is you're required to pay two types of mortgage insurance. As I mentioned, the mortgage insurance premium and an annual premium. FHA loans require also that the house meet certain standards, which decreases buying options. So you have to be careful what kind of house you're buying in that regard. Now, if you get it with the loan that has the rehab, that might allow you to buy, fixer uppers. But if the home is in too bad a condition, I don't think they would cover it. FHA, it's a good way to go if you have that need, if you have a limited funds and if you maybe your credit's not that great, it's a good route to go. Yeah, it's a little expensive and for some regards the rates are good, but in terms of the interest rates, and they are fixed, but having to pay that additional insurance and so forth can be a little bit costly too. It's a good resource for real estate investors. And granted, you can't use it if you're just buying an investment home that you don't live in. But you can if you live in the home. So at least for that 1 year period. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes, and I mean our detailed show notes, on the Old Dog's website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled All About FHA Loans. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward. And may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.